This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. Panic has set in Myanmar, where military vehicles are patrolling the streets with loudspeakers blaring, quote, "We have photographs, we are going to make arrests," end quote. At 3 a.m., troops stormed houses dragging men and women from their beds. Fleeing monks are being denied bus rides. Drivers fear they'll be barred from buying diesel. A U.N. envoy is drafting a report. The leader of the Liberty City 7, on trial in Miami for allegedly scheming to topple the U.S. government, was seen on video today saying to an FBI informant that he is planning, quote, to build an Islamic army for Islamic Jihad, end quote. The group is accused of plotting to blow up the Sears Tower and bomb five FBI offices. The Polish ambassador to Iraq was wounded in an assassination attempt in Baghdad today. A roadside bomb targeting his convoy destroyed three cars, killed one of the ambassador's bodyguards and a civilian bystander. 14 people were wounded. Congress may pass legislation to close a loophole which allows private security contractors in Iraq immunity from criminal prosecution. One contractor, Blackwater, was questioned this week because of a controversial street battle that broke out while protecting a U.S. State Department convoy last week. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Middle East again next week ahead of the U.S.-hosted peace conference in November. She'll go to Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and possibly neighboring Arab countries. Sudanese forces blocked former President Jimmy Carter from visiting a Darfur refugee camp. He got into a shouting match with troops and insisted, quote, "You don't have the power to stop me," end quote. According to a joint six-nation statement, North Korea has agreed to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities by the end of this year. In return, the communist government will receive 950,000 metric tons of fuel oil or economic aid. The AP reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise in its history. It will consist of three imaginary dirty bombs going off in two major U.S. cities and Guam. Investigators are trying to determine how five workers were killed in Georgetown, Colorado at a hydroelectric plant accident yesterday. They initially survived a chemical fire but died before rescuers could reach them 1,000 feet underground. You're listening to the Quality News Network. More next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it. I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A NASA study has discovered a 23% reduction in sea ice in the Arctic over the last two winters. Between the winter of 2005 and 2007, the perennial sea ice shrunk by an area the size of Texas and California combined. Scientists say that the rapid decline was caused by unusual winds that sped its flow out of the Arctic and into warmer latitudes where it melted. The U.S. and Russia will team up to look for water on both the Moon and Mars. The two nations agreed that Russian technology will be used on planned NASA missions. Scientists in Utah have discovered a new species of duck-billed dinosaur that's described as the Arnold Schwarzenegger of dinosaurs, all pumped up. The 30-foot-long hooked-beaked lizard adds some 800 teeth. Government data show that in August, nearly 30% of flights were delayed. There was also an increase in customer complaints. A trade group reports that the U.S. service economy grew at a slower pace in September than in August. Microsoft has introduced three new models of its digital media player, Zune, intended to compete with the Apple iPod. Since its 2001 launch, 100 million iPods have been sold. Microsoft sold just over 1 million Zunes since last year. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 80 points at 13,967. The NASDAQ lost 18, and the S&P 500 was down 70. Oil is trading below $80 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 49 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. You know, I went to the website, and both the sites, and changed from GLBT to LGBT as per our conversation with our friend Bill Browning last evening. However, it's going to be a fight. You know, Bill had an interesting perspective that ladies come first, so that the current thought is LGBT rather than GLBT. And so I did change it officially on site, but my mind still hasn't wrapped around it yet. We'll get there. Today is Wednesday, October 3rd. If you are listening to this program at approximately 9 p.m. Eastern Time on a Wednesday evening, October 3rd, you are indeed listening to a live show. You are welcome to phone in. The telephone number is toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates to being 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. That rings in West Virginia, and that number is 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during breaks. It is indeed a dark and stormy night here in North Florida. In fact, there is a severe weather alert here. Torrential downpours, lightning. Doggy has assumed the storm position, which if you have listened to this program, you know that is when she puts her head as far under the dresser as she could possibly get it. There are magical powers in that dresser. It is an anti-static dresser, and it prevents any lightning from reaching her sweet little doggy head. So Doggy's in the storm position. I am streaming it online. I think things are holding out rather well, considering the weather conditions, and so we're all go. Want to tell you before we get started, we have two guests this evening, wonderful guests. I'm very excited to have them on. Before I introduce them, I want to tell you that if you recall, Monday, we had Archbishop Bruce Simpson scheduled. We were unable to do the show Monday. The Archbishop has agreed to reschedule with us for tomorrow evening. I'm very glad to hear it. This is going to be an amazing program. Please don't miss it. He is one of a kind. He is the Archbishop Bruce Simpson, and he is with the order, the Benedictine Order of St. John the Beloved. And that's an amazing. You know, tonight is a music show. You know, we try to do one show per week with music guests, so we're doing a music show tonight. We'll point out to you that next week, on the 11th, we're also doing a music show. We will have Ernest Cole back with us. Ernest will be talking about a track that we did not get to when he was on the show previously. Joining him will be the legendary Tom Moulton, who literally invented disco by way of inventing the 12-inch single. Thank you, Tom Moulton. Tom is legendary, and Ernest Cole is also legendary. Looking forward to having them both. Also on the 23rd, we will have Elliot Sokolov, who is a composer and producer, musician. He's based in New York City, also an amazing music guest. I'm pointing that out because when we do music guests on those nights, we have most of our music listeners tuning in then, so I'd like to try to point out what guests are coming up. So that's next week. Tonight, we have two amazing guests. One is DJ Jerry Bonham. The other is Chris. I am not going to risk pronouncing Chris's last name. We're going to leave that to Chris to pronounce when we bring Chris and Jerry online. We have them waiting. They're on hold, and they're listening to the program as we speak. Chris and Jerry, along with a group of people, very dedicated people, are this coming weekend, as a matter of fact, they'll tell you all about it, are going to be doing Remember the Party, Remembering the Party, and it's a celebration of the Trocadero. Now, if you know, we have a lot of straight listeners that listen to this show, and God bless you, we appreciate each and every one of you. But if you're a straight listener, you probably have no clue what the Trocadero is. The Trocadero is legend. The Trocadero would come up on a short list that you could probably count on one hand of legendary gay clubs. There's the Trocadero, which is in San Francisco. There was the Saint, the Probe, Dreamland, Studio One, and there are more, but that's a fairly short list. The Trocadero was huge. You know, music means so much to us. You know, back in the day, and we're going to be talking about music from the mid 70s, approximately, all the way up through the early 80s, when the celebration of that particular time frame at the Trocadero. Music is so important to us. I guess back in those days, we didn't have anybody really. The society as a whole really would rather us get out of the way. So we really had just each other, and we had the music. That being the case, the music became a very deep personal friend to each of us, and it's one of the reasons I think this community exhibits such a fascination and loyalty to some of the tracks. You know, I having played music in clubs in the past myself, you know that about me, and I often talk about the track. To give you an introduction to Chris and to Jerry, I'm going to play just a minute 40 of a track by Lisa called Jump Shout, and I'm playing this particular intro track to give you a flavor of what it was like then. I've chosen this particular track also because it actually mentions the Trocadero. In fact, this particular club, this particular track, was universally played coast to coast. You might call it a gay anthem. Anybody who knows this song has been in a gay club, I guarantee you. This song mentions various of the larger gay venues and clubs in the country. And in fact, I'll give you a couple of the intro lyrics in case you can't make them out. TikTok goes the clock, everyone's at the Troc, meaning Trocadero. Jump Shout at the Saint, at the Probe, watching the action in the Strobe. We're going to run about a minute 40 seconds of it. This is the DiscoNet remix, and those of you who listen to the program know that I wax on about DiscoNet. This was also available on Moby Dick, the original versions, on green vinyl and black vinyl, too. And what's interesting about this is that it was, if you had the Moby Dick versions, it was a 12-inch single, but it played at 45 RPM. A lot of people don't realize that unless you collect 12-inch singles or you're a DJ, that a number of the 12-inch remixes actually ran at 45 RPM. And by speeding up, by recording it at a higher velocity, you're able to get huge impact. The dynamic range is stellar. We'll also be talking about I've tried to tell the whole story before the guys get even the sound system at the Trocadero is legend. Absolute legend. In any case, let's run. It's just a minute 40, then we'll bring the guests on. Bob, if you'll run Lisa doing Jump Shout. We'll be right back. further ado, welcome Chris and welcome Jerry to Strictly Confidential. Uh-oh, there's one. I'll probably have the other. Okay, waiting for the studio to clear that up. I'm not hearing the guests. I'm sure the studio is working on getting that taken care of. In any case, I was going on about the sound system for the Trocadero. You know, I hate to sound like, being sexist, but, you know, anybody can, like, make it loud. It takes a gay guy to make it fabulous. The sound system at the Trocadero, and there were several others done by this group of people, and it was done by an outfit and a fellow called Gray Bar, spelled G-R-A-E-B-A-R. It was all custom designed. The speaker systems were custom designed, along with all of the amplification. It was designed to be a very clean system. You could, it wasn't just loud, it was fabulous. You could listen to it for hours without listener fatigue or any problem with burnout on it. The it was legend. In fact, some of the huge clubs used Gray Bar as their sound systems. They used they were blowing people away, like, you know, Altec Lansing, Electro Voice were the leaders at the time. They made big public address systems, that sort of thing. But you couldn't touch the Gray Bar systems. They used bi-amplification, in some cases tri-amplification. They paired it to an array of very high wattage, extremely powerful and high-performance power amplifiers. They were using phase linear at the time, a Bob Carver product. They were using dynamic range expansion. The systems were critically aimed for to work with the environment. You know, it's interesting to note that regarding sound systems, the most important component in any sound system is the room. Unless the system is designed to actually fit the room in such a way that it complements and works with the room, because various rooms have different acoustic properties, it's always a failure. So, in any case, I can go on about audio equipment for forever. That was one of my areas of interest. Now that I've gotten into computers, you know, it's gotten all evil. I'm not able to follow that. I might have chosen half of our amplifiers rather than phase linear. Not that there would have been any difference in quality, mind you, but just because, you know, personal preference. I think we have our guests back. I'm so sorry that we lost you guys. Things have been a little hectic at the studio. We had a glitch. We had to deal with the internet service provider, and I'm having storms. I think I have you both back. Chris and Jerry, are you with me?
I'm here.
Yep. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm so pleased to have you guys on the phone. Now, let me identify your voices. Let me hear Chris.
This is Chris.
Okay, and Jerry, what do you sound like?
I sound like this.
Okay. I've got the DJ voice. I've got the Chris voice. Okay, I think I can handle it now. You know, I am envious of you guys to be able to go to this. The Trocadero is of course legend, and probably for most of our listeners, we might want to start with a general history and perspective. You know, the Troc goes back a long, long way, and is of course the legend.
Chris, I think you'd be the better one to answer that, because you were
that's true. I was there, and the Troc opened in late 1977, and by Dick Collier Jr., and it was legendary from the very beginning. It was a huge club, and the best part of it, as you were saying earlier on your show, was the Gray Bar sound system that Barry Lederer put up, and it was, 50 speakers around the room, and then countless tweeters that hung from the center of the ceiling down. So what it caused was the sound actually rained down over you like a dome effect in the sound. It was incredible. You heard every nuance of every song. It was a wall of ocean of music that you were completely immersed in throughout the night. It was unbelievable.
Wow, I had no idea the scope of it. That many and hanging of that's an amazing story.
Well, there are 50 speakers in cabinets, and I can't remember how many of those cabinets that hung around in a circular pattern around the room, and then the tweeters were actually outside of that, and they hung down in like a cone over the dancers. So it just literally rained sound down on you. And they actually could take it. In those days, it was a big deal that they could make it go around the room by a dial. So if a sound went, it would, the sound would actually go around the room.
Cool.
Left to right or left to right. It was incredible.
That's an amazing story. And the staircase.
There were two. One of them, by the way, you should know, was called Stella Staircase. And Stella Staircase actually went up into Dick's office, and that was a spiral glass staircase. And then the other staircase came down just from the balcony. And, of course, the balcony changed over the years from just being a balcony, and then it had a bar up there, and then they increased it and put two bars up there. And then after a while, they actually put bleachers from the balcony that hung down over the, what do they call that, a sprung dance floor. You could dance all night long because it wasn't hard. It was a wood. It was on top of rubber and on top of other things that actually they called it sprung.
Ah, what a wonderful idea.
It was.
And I understand that that entrances on the staircase were quite impressive. I understand that people worked that staircase.
It was. I would compare it to Gloria Swanson when she's doing her close-up.
Fabulous.
For Mr. DeMille. But on the other hand, I have to tell you, when many of the DJs, but when Bobby Vitaridi in particular would play something that would just wreck the crowd, everybody would run down from those balconies, down those staircases, and you dare not get in the way because you'd be trampled. And the floor would already be full, but everybody would just, it would be like an avalanche of people going right for the floor. It was hilarious when something
I
happened.
I love it. A little gay stampede. You know, we are so like that. You know, there's the core group that dances hard all through the night until the wee hours and into the dawn, and there's those who rush down the stairs or rush from the corners, whatever. You know, for instance, any number of tracks would
I have to add something to that. When parking around there at that time, because it was in an area where there wasn't much going on, it was a warehouse district. But we used to tease because you would see cars parked in. Not very well parked, and we'd always tease that they would hear Bobby playing something good, and they just abandon their car, get out of it, and run into the club. And it actually
fabulous.
Almost looked that way, not quite, but almost.
Oh, that's fabulous. When did the truck open again? Did you mention
1977,
the date?
1977, late 1977, and it was originally a juice bar with no alcohol for the first couple of years.
I understand that it took the effort of the entire Chamber of Commerce of gay businesses to get a liquor license for it.
Oh, it really did. It took a lot of work, and Dick really pulled that off well. And he earned it, and he kept that very sacred. He was very good about making sure nothing went wrong with that because it was an image for everyone there, not just Trocadero, but it was gay people in general. Their reputation was on the line with his, so he was very good about that.
I see. And I'm trying to feature this. Did the original liquor license, did you have to serve food? I mean, in some states, I don't know about California, do you have to have a restaurant there?
I don't remember that he always had things out to eat. That's just, he always presented a great deal, and a lot of times he would have a buffet, meaning, you know, nosh things, you know, things to munch on. And then
I think for after hours you had to have food if you wanted to stay late. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So,
that
must have been why he put out the buffets.
I see. So that the club opened, what, early evening and stayed open all night? Did it do that from the beginning? How late did the club stay open?
It depended on the night, and it would generally open around 10 o'clock and stay open until, on a regular night, it would be around 7 o'clock in the morning, but then there were other times when it would stay open till noon the next day. And on a very rare occasion, later on in years, let's say in 1981, 82, there were a couple weekends where they opened up on Thursday night and closed on Sunday morning at about 8 o'clock. Wahoo!
Oh, God. I can love
so that.
See tell us about the famous no dress code.
Oh, the famous no dress code was avant-garde and come as you are, because it had nothing to do, like Studio 54 and all those places where they wore polyester and got dressed up and everybody was there to be seen. Trocadero was all about the music and the lights and the family and everybody just dancing it off all night long, you know, and there it was, as unit, Jim Feldman, the light man, would say, it was utter gayness. And it really was. And so everybody came as they were, but, you know, it was always Halloween there. People would show up in costume all year long. Not everybody, but a few people. I danced next to nuns. I danced, you know, people dressed as nuns. I danced next to people dressed as priests. I danced next to another person one night that was dressed completely in chains, big chains, who was being writhed around by a preacher type of person. And you never knew. I had schoolgirls dress, guys in schoolgirl outfits come and dress next to me with a tambourine. You never knew what you're going to get, but it always made you smile. That was the best part.
Yes, you could always depend on the gay folks to challenge gender. We do that rather well, don't we?
Really. It wasn't about lipstick. It was everything about fun.
The music. Those were the days of the early... Well, before we even get into the music, let's talk about the lights. I understand there were 12 mirror balls. Is that right?
It went through different incarnations. And by the way, I'm one of the original lighting people.
Ah.
The people that do the lighting right now are original lighting people. We missed the place and we wanted to do it again, so we do. And yes, there were 12, and there have been more and there have been less. And it was the original cluster came from, I can't remember. Do you remember his name, Jerry? The group that it came from. It was the Jay Giles.
The Rolling Stones, was it?
It was the we thought it was the Rolling Stones. It turned out to be the Jay Giles band at a performance here. And then they bought it from them, and they brought it into the club. Before that, it was just Color Wheels on a Truss. And then once they put that mirror ball cluster in, it was, you know, full bore on from then on. The mirror balls are what made that place happen. And,
well,
you know, we really celebrate that again. We put that mirror ball cluster back up every time we have a party.
And arc lights, too.
Oh,
yes, yes, that's where I was going. Were there arc lights back then, or are we just on arc lights with the remember that the party? How were the lights?
You know, actually, that's how I started. And, by the way, that's how Patrick Kelly started, too, is running an arc lamp. They're actually ultra arc lamps. So they're a quartz ultra arc. They're not, you know, the type that burn arc, but... that there were usually at least one arc lamp on weekends at the Trocadero, and they would do syncopated motion in contact with the lighting man in the DJ booth via ClearCom. And the lighting there, the arc lamp was never the forefront more than anything else. Everything gelled in to make one harmonious group of lighting, of ambience and color that celebrated the music and the atmosphere of the club. Nothing stood out more than anything else too much. So it was really quite beautiful, and we do a similar thing.
Well, I understand. Tell us about the glass cat. Tell us about the incarnation. I understand Trocadero has been through many phases over the years, but this particular early phase is the one that you're celebrating. But I understand it's been through, what, a trance phase and house music and now it's called a glass. What is the history? How does it work through present?
I'll try to make it as brief as possible. As time progressed, and as long as it was still Trocadero, Dick kept reinventing the club, you know, bringing up 80s music, you know, Pet Shop Boys and all of that type of sound in the mid-80s and so on and so forth. And then it went into a kind of a punk thing and different things. But I, to tell you the truth, in the early 90s, Jerry Bonham and I worked there, and we called it Liquid at that time when we worked for a club called Pleasure Dome, which was, imagine that, Jerry, it's been 17 years, huh? And,
I know.
Yeah, really. And so we actually went over there and played house, trance, you know, Jerry can tell you more about that. But it went through all the phases. As time went on, the music always changed at Trocadero. It was always kept modern. And once in a while, they do a little bit of retro, but nothing like what we do. We were specific. About early 70s through 1983, we hold it original, authentic Trocadero sound. No remixes, no current updated versions of it. It's exactly what was played then. But the club itself went through a lot of changes and you know, yes, trance was played there for a while. Different things were played there for a while. Now it's kind of a hip-hop club. And it also has another, it's just starting with some young gay guys are starting to do, I think, an event once or twice a month on a Thursday night, I think it was. And so it's kind of interesting that it's gone full circle that the gay people are, young gay people are becoming interested in it again and starting to do their own version of what they consider to be today's Trocadero. And
well,
they're mystified by ours, our version.
That's of great interest to me. And getting to Jerry, you too are a legend. I understand you were born and bred in North Dakota. Now, North Dakota to the Trocadero is one hell of a ride.
Yeah. Well, I made the transition slowly but surely. I left North Dakota and went to Minneapolis because it was the nearest big city I could get to. And that's when I kind of got the DJ bug. I'd sit in the clubs all night and watch the DJ, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So then from Minneapolis, I moved to San Francisco and worked at Dreamland and ended up working at the Pleasure Dome, which is where I met Chris. He used to do lights at the Pleasure Dome, and I was the DJ. And he would always tell me Trocadero stories. And one of my favorite ones is your one about the walking on thin ice on Easter Sunday, where they re-edited Yoko Ono throwing up. How long was it, Chris?
It was 8 to 10 minutes, but it was on Hot Tracks, if you remember. But do you remember the reason that they did that? Was they had gotten in some legal trouble, so they actually played that as
telling everybody,
we're walking on thin ice, so you better all straighten up your act, so they had her throw up on the record for 5 minutes.
That's fabulous. You know,
communicating through his music, you know. That's a good story.
Fabulous story.
I just know that.
Sorry. It's a fabulous story. I had no idea the history behind that. And Jerry, you've played all over the world. You've played Mexico City. You've played Lima. You've played Lima, Peru, Istanbul of all places. You've played in Berlin.
Yeah.
How from North Dakota?
I've been really blessed. I love DJing. I love music. I've just met up with some really incredible people that have believed in me, and I have an incredible agent and manager, and I've been really lucky. Bottom line is, I love music, and I'm just thrilled that I get to go places like that and play. But to be quite honest with you, the party that I look forward to the most is this Remember the Party. Because this music is what I grew up with. It's my roots. It's where all my other musical influences come from. So even when I'm playing around the world, I'm playing contemporary club music. But doing these parties is the most near and dear thing to my heart when I get to play the Remember the Parties. It's really quite wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I actually was going to try to get to the question of where your heart was, because you have managed to reinvent yourself over the... You've done this for such a long period of time, but nonetheless, you're still considered a... After all of these years, you're still considered a contemporary DJ playing, which is so different than the music from back in the day. And I'm just... How did you manage to keep reinventing? You've done this for, 20, 30 years?
I've been DJing since 1976, so yeah, it's 31 years now. I always find comparisons with the contemporary music that I play to the music that I started with, which is the disco. I mean, one of the best examples that I can think of is like BT. I always think of BT as the new Boris Midney, because his music is so... It's cinematic, you know, the way he builds his tracks. And Boris Midney was doing this back in the 70s. So I find comparisons between the contemporary music that I play and going back to my roots.
Well, I was surprised to hear earlier in our conversation about Patrick Cowley was the the light guy at the truck. Now, did he get his start from you or one of the DJs there? How did that work? He's famous too. He's a legend too.
Oh yeah.
Let me straighten that out. I'm sorry. Patrick Kelly was the arc lamp operator at the City Disco, not Trocadero.
I see. And when he was a light operator, he had not DJed prior to that, or he was not a music guy.
No, but he was into music, and that's when he met Sylvester in the early 70s.
So it was Sylvester who did it. Okay. Well, that
right.
makes
so he
sense
met Sylvester,
now.
And they became friends, and they joined up, and the rest is history there. Sorry,
Jerry,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
For those of you who don't know, Sylvester is also legend. I haven't played a Sylvester track on this program. I'll just tell you guys, every night I'll run a dance track, and it's always something from the day. You never know what, Forbidden Love or My Forbidden Lover or I haven't hit Sylvester yet, though. Yeah, all the cool stuff. And in the chat room, they've actually, some of the chat moderators have put up mirror balls that spin that they begin posting. I'm trying my best to pervert them. I'm really working overtime to do it. But Sylvester, we haven't hit yet. And Sylvester is of course legend. We lost Sylvester due to the we lost so many wonderful people due to AIDS, and then Sylvester was one of them, and Patrick too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's actually I became friends with Patrick when he was first got sick, and that's how I met a lot of other people in this industry.
And that, of course, was in the early days when there were no cocktails.
Exactly. By the way, I have to, on that note, thanks to Patrick, I was able to meet Paul Parker and Lisa, who you just played at the beginning of the thing, and they're both alive and doing really well and still making music.
Really? I had Cynthia Manley on a while back. I would love to have Lisa on, and that would be a total hoot.
Sure, I'll be happy to connect you with them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I would love to. She's of course, a legend. And some of her stuff is on YouTube. Yeah, so she's still...
Oh, yeah.
She's still alive and kicking. Well,
she's the Marlena Dietrich of disco, let me tell you.
Wonderful story. When did the first Remember the Party happen, and whose idea was that?
It was April of 2004, and it actually started in 2003. When Bobby Mosky, a friend of mine who worked with Jerry Bonham at the Old Pleasure Dome and the Gallery and different places, and I were talking one day, and we said, "Guy, we really miss really good dance music or disco music, and we miss the Trocadero." And, you know, we just were kidding around. You know, what do you think? Do you think we should just try to do a party for maybe 200 or 300 people? And, you know, or if 100 people showed up, we'd be able to play the music and have some fun amongst ourselves. And I took the idea and kind of ran with it, and I started contacting people, different people that I was able to run into, and they contacted people, and the next thing you know, there was just avalanche of people coming back to me, please, please do this. We all miss the club. We miss dancing. We miss being able to be that again. You know, you can never totally recreate something, but you can visit it, and what we do is we visit it in a very wonderful way and have a lot of fun with ourselves. And now, and instead of, you know, 100 or 200 people showing, it ended up being 800 people showed up. So we've been really lucky. We're really fortunate. We're having a great time doing it. And then Jerry Bonham joined us in 2005 and refined it so that it now, not our lighting is becoming more refined like Trocadero, but thanks to Jerry, and I mean this, Jerry, our music is now exactly the way it was at Trocadero. It's the way he spins it, the way he mixes it, how he groups his songs and sets, the trip that he takes you on. And by the way, that little thing of the walking on thin ice where the DJs had things to say to the crowd, I want to tell you right now, Jerry, in everything that he does, he's talking to the crowd through his music, and it's beautiful, and people love it. And some people cry, some people laugh, but a lot of people blow their whistles and scream all night long.
Well, the tears, that strikes me as a very important comment. It seems to me that I can only imagine myself being there, but at the end of the evening, I'm not sure that I could keep a tear out of my eye after after being there, I've looked at the playlist. I know how dangerous Jerry is. I went down the playlist for 2006, and the man needs to be locked up. It's fabulous.
Thank you. We'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, really.
The track to track, it's all fabulous. It's genius.
But you know what it happens? This is, everybody's glad to be there. Everybody's at the truck, and everybody's glad to be there. They're really happy, and when they hear that music, the reason that there are really very few tears is people can't stop smiling. I've never seen anything like it. Everyone just smiles all night long. They couldn't wipe the grins off their faces. It's so heartwarming to see it. Although we, as the people that are putting it on, doing lighting and the DJ, occasionally we're brought to tears by their emotion. That they're so thrilled to hear.
It's a very emotional night, that's for sure. Yeah, and I mean,
but all positive.
It's all positive. It's just incredible. The energy in that room just blows me away.
Yep, it's true. We're the lucky ones.
It's a very magical night. I mean, people get together that haven't seen each other maybe since the last party, and I know at the very first one, they hadn't seen each other in years. So people reconnect, and there's lots of new connections, you know, because of these parties. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I'm so proud to be a part of it and glad to be a part of it.
I'll take that a step further. We have to announce this. People that met at our last party last year have been together a year, and they're actually getting married at this party. They're having a commitment ceremony at this party this Sunday.
That's fabulous.
And that has happened a couple of times. This is our first commitment ceremony. But other people have met back up, and people have met each other, and they've actually formed serious relationships from Remember the Party. So what a beautiful thing, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I assume that old friends are reunited that have not seen each other in many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just amazing. Now, this is coming up very soon.
It's this Sunday, October 7th.
And it is in San Francisco.
Yep.
Are you coming, Peter?
Oh, God, I would dearly love to come. I'm gnawing through the straps. If you had any idea what a softie I am about this, listening to you guys talk about it has literally brought tears to my eyes. It's just so personal to all of us, the music and those were wonderful days. You know, the world has become a meaner place, has it not?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, there's something that Jerry and I will share this with you. Jerry didn't do this, but in 1993, a group of us got together and did a documentary about the Trocadero called Wrecked for Life.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
It is available somewhat. It's very expensive now on eBay. But Wrecked for Life, at the time we made it, I didn't really like the title because I didn't get it. But now I get it. And Jerry now.
Same with me.
We're totally wrecked for life. Once you experience Trocadero, so if you want to come out and get wrecked for life, please be our guest. Because you'll never be the same. Once it gets under your skin, you'll love it, and you can't get away from it. There's nothing like, as Dick Collier, the owner, would say, nothing like it, never will be. And I'm not saying that as a brag. I'm saying it's so completely different from anything else you'll ever see that it just, you'll be wrecked for life. But you should watch that video.
Yes, I came across it, in fact, this afternoon when I was going through various pages and finding out more about and of course I immediately went to Netflix, and it doesn't exist on Netflix. So the old, you say you eBay has copies of it?
It was either eBay or Amazon.com has a copy of it. And
it's only VHS, it's not a DVD.
Ah.
Right. Yeah,
so, but we're talking to some people now about maybe reissuing it. So it's really, it was in the Gay Film Festival that year. And had a great response. We had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, it's fun to watch, that's for sure.
It tells you lots of secrets.
The secrets. And I assume it focuses on the crowd, and are any entertainers in this film also, in the movie?
No, it's completely about Trocadero and the staff that worked there and the people that went there and their feelings of it. And so it's very emotional, but also really funny. So it's not anything to do with performances, and they only play little snippets of music, but they explain what it was that happened when it opened and what happened that it became this cult thing and what happened to people afterwards and how everybody became wrecked for life.
I see. Well, you know, the Trocadero was the beginning of a huge coming out even within the gay community. You know, and I remember this clearly, especially coming from the South and having lived in smaller towns, although I did escape for a while in the 80s. I was recaptured. And I remember going to the bars that had the black windows, painted over, and the locked doors, and they were located behind gas stations, and there was no sign out front, and you just had to know where it was. The Trocadero was one of the first of the just out front, this is huge, we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They did paint their windows later on, but it was still very visible. I mean, they had a big awning, a huge sign. They were very visible. And it was really a beautiful place. I mean, it was unlike other gay bars where it would be, you know, black inside and kind of dark. The Trocadero was gorgeous, and it had a huge...
They even had a sunlight inside over the dance floor, a sunroof. Yeah.
Yeah. So
in the morning, they would take the tarp off and let the sun in for a little bit, and then Bobby would play, you know, he'd be playing a really pretty set, and they would have the sun streaming down inside the club, and then he'd want to go into a dark set, and they would have people up on the roof pull the tarp back over, so it's you're engulfed in night all over again.
I mean,
It was. Natural sunlight would light the mirror balls, and they called it lighting by God.
That's fabulous. That's just fabulous. Are any of the other legend clubs doing anything like this? Dreamland does a Probe still exist? At least the building, the Saint. Is anyone else doing this?
I don't know, Jerry. Do you know?
The Saint. I don't. I think the building is no longer there. Or if it is, it's been turned into something else. It was a planetarium, if I remember correctly, originally.
Right.
And the Probe, I don't know if it's still there either. Dreamland is still there, but they totally remodeled the inside. It used to be just one huge dance floor, and they ended up separating the big room into two rooms and having like a lounge on one side and then the dance area on the other. So it's still there, but it's a hip-hop club as well.
I see. That's hard for me to wrap my head around. I mean, I understand that times change, you know, even though, we always remember how things were. It's just hard to imagine. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like, how can I put it? The devil invading the church, you know what I'm saying? I know I'm going to be in so much trouble for saying that. No doubt I'm going to get hate mail. But, you know, it's I guess to some of us it was just a sacred time, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I love it when people come up to the DJ booth during the night and they're like, oh, my God, I never knew disco music could be like this. I think, you know, most people that don't know, real disco music are expecting I Will Survive, We Are Family, you know, all the big top 40 commercial hits. And there's a totally other side to disco or dance music that they had never heard. And then when they do hear, they're just blown away.
Well, that's a good point. Our guest, VJC, operates Disco 935 in New York. He was a guest just the other evening, and he was discussing this with us on the show about this total fascination with just playing the same old top 40 disco hits, and people think that's the entirety of it, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, there was so much good music released back then, and it was all different and very forward thinking. I mean, songs like Magnifique. I mean, that's It was like music from space. Where did this come from? And even the, I mean, I Feel Love is a big pop hit, but the very first time anybody heard that song, it was like nothing, there was nothing else like it.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing, you know, back in the 70s when you heard stuff like that, you were hearing sounds that you had never ever heard before in your life, and it was really, really exciting. So it's really fun to introduce that to people that have never heard it before.
Well, Jerry, tell us about what's going on today. I take it that there's a lot of digital sampling coming from disco music that's being used in the current tracks. And tell us about that. What's going on along those lines?
Well, I mean, that's been going on for years. I mean, all the Italian stuff that came out in the late 80s, early 90s, almost all of that was borrowing from an old disco song. And at the last party, no, at the Black Party, Remember the Black Party, I was playing Beat the Clock by Sparks, and someone came up and said, is this the original? Because the drum break in that has been sampled by everybody. And
that's
like, yep,
funny.
It's the original.
That's too funny. I played that the other evening. I think it was the Hot Tracks medley with Beat the Clock and Human Race.
Right.
Tryouts for the Human Race. Yeah. A fabulous track. But people think it's new. I mean, this it's presented as being something original, but sometimes it's used. I understand if it's used in such a way that it's maybe, how can I put it, a tribute. To the music.
Right, respectfully, yes.
It's almost like the tendency to hijack it.
Right. Melodies that have been ripped off, and people have no idea that it's actually an old disco song. I mean, a classic example now is there. Someone sampled This Time Baby by Jackie Moore.
Really?
And I can't remember who it is, but the hook is I've got love on my mind, and they just keep repeating that, and then they are actually singing other lyrics over it, but it's really This Time Baby by Jackie Moore.
Ah, and that would be an example of not a tribute. You've hijacked a particular lyric and put your word. I just think that's so evil.
I think the reason people do it is because people like familiarity, so they're like, oh, I think I know this song. I mean, if you sample a song that was a hit before, more than likely, your song is going to be a hit, you know? Because you're using something that worked before, so why wouldn't it work again? So I see the reason people do it, but I'm not that nuts about it for the most part.
Do you think
As Patrick Kelly would say, everybody borrows from everybody.
Well,
right.
This is true. Do you think this age of digital sampling, and not that it's new particularly, it's been around for years now, has stifled creativity? Do you think people are just keep creating the same thing over and over again by pulling? There's so much music that you can pull together. What do you think about the level of creativity now? It was all fresh then.
Yeah, it was fresh then. They were new. Well, they were new sounds then, and now, at least to my ears, they're not new sounds. I don't know. I think technology in a way has diminished the quality of music that's being made. But if someone really knows how to use that technology and they are creative, they can make incredible music as well. So, I mean, I think there's always both sides to that. I just think there's too many people making music that don't know how to make music.
Which has something to do with the lack of education in schools now. They don't teach music anymore. So people
Good
are now
point.
Playing with their computers making music, but not learning
right.
in school the construction of music.
Good point. So the only thing they can do really is cut and splice, so to speak. You're very correct about that. You know, the funding for education, we are very politically oriented around here. We get into these things a lot, especially with the No Child Left Behind is an absolute scandal.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And that's what's happened to music, is they're just not teaching it at school, so you're not getting anybody out there anymore that really has it happen, except it still happens in England and Europe because they still teach music. So people are getting a basic instruction of how music works, and they come up with fresh new things occasionally.
I see. Well, tell us about Amanda Lear. I know this is out of the clear blue sky. Is she, in fact? I'm dying to know. Maybe you guys, is she or is she not? Tell me.
I've heard she's definitely a 100% woman. That's
okay.
What I've heard.
Okay.
I'm not going to commit to anything because she. I'm not going to tangle with her. Oh, you're a smart man, Chris.
Oh, he is so wise. Oh, that would be a horrifying thing.
She is a Trocadero legend. She's right up there with Grace Jones and Trocadero. She's like the patron saint of Trocadero with
right.
Follow Me.
Yes, yes.
Goodness.
Yes. Yes, yes. I hadn't heard of Follow Me.
Popular because of the Trocadero.
And Bobby Vitaretti, yeah.
Bobby was one of the DJs. Bobby was the DJ that broke Follow Me by Amanda Lear and turned it on to DJs in New York and everywhere else.
I'll be damned. Well, I hadn't heard it in so many years. And in fact, somehow I never had a copy of it, but I had heard it played and always remembered it as this haunting thing from way back when. Don't know why I didn't have a copy.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we are back live. You know, we really ought to run, if I had uploaded to the studio, Stormy Weather by Viola Wild. As I said, we are in a severe weather alert here in North Florida, and the rain comes pouring down, and we had a bit of an internet glitch. It is not our old friend. It is not our old friend, the what we suspect was a denial of service attack. We seem to have gotten that straightened out. What we have fighting us tonight is the weather, and I'm sure that Bob is working on bringing our guests back, both Chris and Jerry, and I will apologize to them when we get them on the air. But I do definitely want them back, because of all the things we have not talked about, we haven't talked about how do you go? How do you get tickets? What is the exact address? We haven't talked about. We really haven't covered the details of it, and so there. You know, we really definitely want to get those fellows back, so we can at least cover that before we are knocked out by by Dorothy and the tornado and the yellow brick road again. Okay, let's see. Where were we before we were so rudely interrupted? Ah, yes, the Trocadero. Part of the proceeds from this is actually as a fundraiser. I'm looking. One moment, I took my glasses off. You know, back in the day when I was a DJ, I could read all these things. I could read all these things without any hardware assistance. But as time goes by, we have to have our glasses, et cetera, et cetera. And let's see, looking for it, and I will come across it in a moment. It is used as a fundraiser for an organization that cares for AIDS patients in the San Francisco area. And when we have them back, I'm sure they'll tell us about that. Here we go. Yes, I knew I had it in here somewhere. It's called The Mission of Under One Roof. And it is to generate funding for agencies that provide HIV education and support services to folks in the San Francisco area. It may be a wider area than that. I do not know. But in any case, part of the funding goes to that. And, of course, that's very important. You know, the Bush administration claims to be increasing funding, but they just claim to. They put it on paper, then they don't fund it. So what's happening is as the pool of AIDS patients grows, the funding or the agencies, the support groups, have less and less funds to spread around. So by participating in this event, not only will you have a tear-stained hanky when it's over, you'll also be helping one of the many people who has to keep those medications on the shelf. Fellows, are you back with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. I'm so sorry we got you dumped. We're having Viola Wills is hitting us with some stormy weather.
That's funny. So sorry we played that at the last event.
Well, yes, in fact, you did. I went down you reminded me of so many tracks when I went down that list. In fact, I uploaded a copy of Haven't Stopped Dancing Yet to the studio, which you ran in 2006. And which is an old favorite of mine. If we got a chance to play it. Now, listen. In case things go odd again, you know there really is some severe weather here. I'm sure that's what happened to us. But in case things go odd again, I want you to tell before, so I don't lose you. I want you to tell everyone about how you go there, where you can get tickets, the actual address, if you'd like to give that out, start time, stop time, about Under One Roof, and some of the practical details of attending.
Sure, I'll do that. You just go to remembertheparty.com. There you can get tickets to the event. Pre-tickets are a little less expensive. You can also, while you're on our site, you can listen to the music that Jerry's done at past events. If you haven't listened to that yet, you should really do it. Just click on the RTP music, and you have two half-hour tracks to listen to. A portion of the proceeds do go to Under One Roof, which is a store in the Castro area of San Francisco that they sell things in the store, and then the money from that and the money that's given to them from people like us is distributed amongst AIDS charities to help the cause. Tickets are also available in San Francisco at Medium Rare Music on Market Street near Castro, And, of course, you can buy tickets on the night at the door. It's at 520 4th Street in San Francisco in the south of Market area. And it's at the original Trocadero Transfer, which is now called the Glass Cat. And there you'll see the fabulous Jerry Bonham and Miss Arclamp Diva, Miss Carla, and the rest of us all having the time of our life, and about 800 or 1,000 other people. Maybe not with tear-stained hankies, as you said, but there'll definitely be a lot of glitter.
maybe tears of joy. Now, before we were so rudely interrupted by the Kansas tornado, you were attempting to explain flag dancing. I'm not going to let you give. I'm going to bring us back to that. I want to hear this. Tell us about the flag. You were indicating what the glow. Are these large? And I was trying to say that the fan dancers are a little dangerous, and so maybe that's why you waited to fly. I mean, you could be injured by those things. They're huge.
Yeah, they really are big, and that's why they generally kept them off the floor until around 5 o'clock. But at our event, we just have them up on the stage, and then they have a whole area there with other people that they can do it. And they are really big, and I don't know if you were able to hear it before the stormy weather got us, but I'd say it's about half the size of a twin bed sheet, and they're beautifully decorated or painted, and sometimes they have metallic things on them, you know, glitter or whatever, but most of the time they're painted in a very bright iridescent color or day glow color. And but the people are very gentle with them. You know, they're not, they could be dangerous if you get hit with someone who's moving around with them, but they're pretty floor cautious with that, and they're part of the night rather than becoming the night itself. But they're really beautiful. I still say it's kind of like an ocean wave as the lights dance off of the material.
I see. So these are made. These are homemade. These people spend a lot of time making these. If I understand.
Yeah. In fact, the fans are that way too. The people made their own fans. They're very difficult to make, and most of those are done in all different kinds of material, and they're really beautiful. And people consider their fans their partner a lot of the time for the night. In fact, I was able to Dick Collier's family, the owner of Trocadero, actually sent me a pair of his fans. Hold very dearly.
I see, and these were fans that what was his name? His name was Dick, I think.
Dick Collier Jr. Yeah, he was the original owner, and he was the one that opened the Trocadero Transfer. And they were his personal fans, and he had three different pair. And they gave me one of the pair, and what a treat! They're beautiful too.
I see. So he's not with us anymore. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't realize that.
Right. Dick left this world and right after we did the first party, and he was very, very happy that we were doing the party, and he sent us a few notes saying, so glad to hear you're keeping the Trocadero alive and that you're keeping the music going, and, you know, he wished he could have been there, but he can't, and, you know, and then he left, and but his family's been in contact with us since then, and we've actually put a little page up on our website at rememberthepartycom about Dick Collier and how he opened the Trocadero and explaining who he was. And you'll love the title of the page. This came from his niece, of all people. We're trying to figure out, what do we call the page where we're going to talk about Dick Collier, who opened the Trocadero Transfer? And she said, well, let's talk about Dick. So that's what we named the page.
Oh, yeah, that would be a surprise page. You wouldn't what you see is what not what you didn't get. I guess on that particular page. Jerry, tell us about Fire Island. Apparently, you played there for in the early days. Was that had to be fabulous?
I was there in '79, and yeah, it was pretty fabulous. I had some incredible experiences there. I played at the Ice Palace 57, and then I used to go to Moby Dick's, I mean the Blue Whale, sorry, wrong city, the Blue Whale over in the Pines. Just lots of nonstop partying. I met Rock Hudson there and listened to Howard Merritt DJ. Warren Gluck was DJing out there back then, and Roy Thode, who was very influential on me. I just spent a season out there on the island and a year in New York City, and then I moved back to Minneapolis. But I don't regret anything that I did on Fire Island.
Well, tell us about the audio systems. Were those also Gray Bar systems there?
The one in the Ice Palace was, and it from what Chris was telling me about the Trocadero sound system, it was very, very similar. They had tweeters, you know, throughout the entire club. So it wasn't like the music was just coming at you from, you know, the cabinets that they had up in the ceiling. But like you said, it's like the sound was raining down on you. It really gave you nice separation from horns and vocals and strings and the percussion. Everything was very separate, and you could hear that in those clubs that had those sound systems, and there weren't that many of them.
Well, during your career, I'm terribly interested to know about Two Tons of Fun / Weather Girls. Until I read your information, I did not realize that Two Tons of Fun actually transformed into the Weather Girls. I didn't know I always thought it was just two. I didn't realize that. Have you met them?
I met them in Minneapolis, but when I was DJing at the Y'all Come Back Saloon at 9th and Hennepin, and they came and performed there. And Sylvester came, and Gloria Gaynor was there, Pamela Stanley. So I did most of my DJing in Minneapolis, and I thought I had the best of both worlds because I was influenced from the New York side and also the San Francisco side. Because I remember going to New York and talking to some DJs, and they were like, "Oh my God, what are they playing in San Francisco? That is just the weirdest music." And I'm thinking, "Well, I'm playing some of that weird music, and I love it."
Well, that's
San Francisco definitely had its own sound.
That's an interesting point. We've talked about that before, and in fact, back in the day when I was DJing, there was always discussion amongst the DJs that West Coast and East Coast were not playing the same things, with the exception of the huge hits like, well, you know, Raining Men by the Weather Girls, which you just brought up, would be an example of a nationally played track. But
right,
there was a whole different genre. And, you know, having met our friend Glenn Rivera, I've heard some music I have never heard before, you know, being mostly on the East Coast. Now, when I was DJing, it was in Portland, Oregon, and even that, it would be considered over the hills and far away from San Francisco. A wonderful flight, especially some of the early morning music.
Right. Well, for me, New York, I kind of grew up on New York morning music just because I hadn't experienced what they played in San Francisco. But San Francisco, I think, or the West Coast sound, I think got a little more electronic than the East Coast did. Do you think that's true, Chris?
Yes, I do. I think it would be the difference between orchestrated kind of big band disco-y sound for the East Coast and a Giorgio Moroder kind of morning music sound for the West Coast, with a little bit of funkiness thrown in it.
Yeah.
But that was
easier sounding, I think.
Yeah.
So New York had sort of the big band mafia sound, and San Francisco had the more Silicon Valley look. Is that?
That's probably true. But I will tell you, when I first met Jerry Bonham, that was one of the things that I immediately was gravitated to him, because he played the Trocadero sound the way Trocadero sounded, because he played a morning music set. He would play a wind-up set that had, you know, beautiful electronic, really pleasing, delicious music to hear, and then he'd do his high energy peak, and then he would go down into morning music, which was the delicious morning sound, purple, you know, color, and all of that wonderful sound. And it was just like being a Trocadero, only very current, contemporary music. And I thought, wow, this guy really has the Trocadero thing down, and here it is in the mid '90s, you know, or near 2000.
Well, Jerry, how did you do that? How did you handle that transition between the it's terribly high energy, and then eventually you do go into what we call early morning music, which is a slower BPM, and not necessarily lower energy, mind you, but a slower BPM, right? And that can be a difficult transition, especially for some crowds. How did you manage that?
Well, like you said, it depends on the crowd. And the crowd that I was playing to, I mean, they were expecting that. They were waiting for the come down. I mean, it's like the Remember the Party events. These most of the people are there from the beginning of the night till the end of the night because they want to go through this journey where you start out slow and funky and you kind of, you're getting your groove on, basically, and then you go up to the euphoric high energy and you got to come down sometime. And I just love bringing people down very slowly, which is the way I had always heard it back in the day. You didn't just play a song that ended cold and, you know, boom, we're playing slow music. It was done very gradually. You know, you would slow the BPMs down of the songs with each song that you played, and you'd pick softer sounds, you know, and before you knew it, you were dancing to morning music.
Well, tell us about the club called The End Up. Now, apparently there was the Trocadero, but not always, because I get the impression sometimes it was open for days. And, so apparently, though it normally closed at 6 and people would head to an a.m. or a morning club called The End Up. Is that right?
That's true. That's true. The End Up is still there as well. I mean, that's a San Francisco institution. And
interesting.
That's where you end up when all the other bars are closed.
Well, I bring that up because I worked a club in Portland where I began playing at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, and that was just a magical time. It was the people, it was the real diehards.
Right.
Now, maybe a little overamped, but certainly festive. And, you know, we would kick in with high energy like it's at 7 a.m. I mean, you know, maybe not right the very first beat, but, you know, we eventually got there. I mean, it's funny that the waves of people and how they all react to different types of people. Some go home, some don't give up for 3 days. It's just amazing, really.
Are you there?
And yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, my line went dead on my end for a little bit. Yeah, that's very true what you're saying. And
okay, Bob will take care of that. And just so I'm clear, I'm speaking with Jerry or Chris.
No, this is Chris right now.
This is
but
Chris.
What you're saying is true, that everybody would be very amped up and they'd have to go somewhere to calm down, and they'd go to The End Up to do that. And that's a lot of times why Trocadero would stay open a little later to give everybody a place to... No, we were a lot younger then, and we had a lot of energy to expel. There was another place that people would go to, and that was also, it was called The Balcony. And that was a very festive place to go to at 8 o'clock in the morning on Market Street near Castro.
Well, now, speaking of balconies, I understand the staircase isn't at the glass cat any longer, so it won't be there. What a terrible loss. Why in God's name would they take out the staircase?
Well, first, let me preempt that a little bit. I have to say that the people that own the Glass Cat are just wonderful, and they treat Trocadero people like royalty. And anybody that was from Trocadero, they're just, when you come in, they just like, oh, you're here, and they're so happy that
wonderful.
They love having a Trocadero event there. But what happened was during the dot-com boom, they turned the Trocadero Glass Cat into a supper club. And when they remodeled it, they took out that staircase. And they remodeled it and put a restaurant in upstairs, things like that. And it still has pretty much the original flavor with some changes. But they just didn't realize when the dot-com boom crashed, they turned it back into kind of a club. The restaurant still goes at different hours, but it's mostly a dance club. And the staircase was just one of the things that went, including the Mirabella cluster. But we make sure we put that up for every one of our events.
I see. So this is an awful lot of work to put on. You have a whole team of people hanging this and bringing it, because the arc lights are not there either. Is that right?
None of it's there. None of it's there. We pre-program the lighting that is there, what lighting is there, to be more Trocadero and feel, and then we bring in and we put in the Mirabal cluster again. We bring the arc lamps and we bring back the original people to do the lighting and run it the way it was at the time, as close as we can get with today's intelligent lighting mixed in. And I have to say, when the house lights go down and Jerry puts on the first song and the Mirabals are there and it's, you know, just beautiful and purple and blue and all the wonderful colors, magenta, everybody does the same thing. They kind of take a breath and just go,
it's Trocadero. It's here.
Wonderful. And welcome back. Welcome back, Jerry. I'm glad we got you back. Jerry, I was going to ask you about obviously so many years have passed, the great bar system can't possibly exist. It would just be too many BPMs through it. So the thing is, what is the sound system that currently exists? Is it reminiscent? Is it hanging speakers? Tell us about that.
They have, well, there's four hanging speakers in there, but there's no tweeter array like there used to be, and there's a sub bass as well, but it's by no means what the Trocadero sound system used to be at all. But the great thing is that we get to go in early and work with their sound man and re-EQ and kind of tweak the sound system and get it to sound as good as we can. And I also master every song that I'm playing. I do lots of re-edits of the original songs, just like Bobby used to do back in the day. And I also re-EQ everything for that sound system now, so it sounds as good as we can get it to sound.
Well, that's remarkable. You know, most sound guys are rather protective. So he's easy to work with. He you know, most sound guys would go, oh, my God, don't tweak anything. You know, I'll never get it.
Gordon is there with us throughout the entire night, and he's just as helpful as he can be. But, I know what you're saying. A lot of sound guys aren't like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sound guy, you will do what I say. You know?
Oh, yeah, there's this whole mafia Hitler thing going on with those.
Gordon's been doing it for a long time, too, and he understands. And plus, he loves what we're doing, so he's more than willing to help us. It's really nice.
And he always asks for a CD set afterwards because he's so in love with the music that we play because he's never really heard it. And he's like, wow, I've got to have that.
Well, I was just noticing on the site that yes, in fact, the CDs, are the CDs still available as far back? How far back do you still have CD sets available to buy of the entire evening?
Of all the parties that I've played, you can still get the CD sets. And I've done the Soul Recharge, the Black Party, Remember the Party 5, and now this one. So I'll have four sets. Yeah, I have them from the very first one that I've done with the guys.
Well, you know, this term, Black Party, came up earlier, and some of the people are probably wondering, tell us about Black Party, Red Party, and there may be other colors.
The Black Party for me is... Do you want to answer that, Chris?
No, I think you should.
Okay. It's all about the music, and the Black Party is sexy and darker and, you know, more... For me, it's
intense.
Playing songs like Evolution by Giorgio or Space Invaders by Playback, and it's... help me expound, Chris, because
it's much more intense. It's more intense, and it's the music as well as the lighting. The lighting is darker, a little. It's more intense. It's more of a masculine flavor, if you would. And
Space Invaders certainly qualifies as. I remember. I have to share this story. I remember one. It was a rather strange club I was DJing in, and we had this guy. And he was a little strange and. He complained that we weren't. Well, I was playing with my partner Bill at the time. The music was. There were too many women that wanted to hear something. I guess more macho. I don't know. So immediately we pulled out Space. So what are you going to do? You put on Space Invaders, right? That's the. I hadn't heard that title in years. It equated in those terms of being. Anyway, I'm sorry. I wander
don't
around.
Don't be sorry. It's a Trocadero classic.
Wonderful.
Space Invaders is a definite Trocadero classic, along with Magnifique and Follow Me. I mean, Follow Me is a classic Black Party song.
Right.
I mean, it's. I mean, it's just sexy, and I don't. It's sexy. in a very dark way, you know. It's beautifully sexy.
And for a Red Party, then a Red Party would be more for like a Valentine's kind of. Thing. So you would play more songs about love, and the lighting would be geared more towards that. And a White Party was usually done in the spring on the West Coast. So we did more spring-type music, you know, like Spring Affair and the lighting was much lighter and airier, and they had lots of flowers around the club. So each party, and usually the black party on the West Coast was at Halloween, so each one represented one of those things.
They all think on a mood.
Exactly.
The music creates an atmosphere for these parties, for these theme parties.
Right. I'm particularly fond of the black party and the red party.
And I have to say the black party is one of my favorites, too.
That's so funny. I mean, you know, it's almost like you go to a dating site and it's not like what's your sign, but what parties do you like? You know, it's a major clue.
That's a perfect correlation.
And speaking of white parties, you know, there's this whole series of white parties that take place, I assume, all over the country. Are you guys involved in that, are you using the term white party separate from those? Tell us about that.
No, we're not involved in that, and it would be a Trocadero white party if we were to do one.
I understand.
But that's another entity, like Saint at Large has their own parties, and they do more contemporary things than we would do. We would always keep it period music.
I see. I have read lately that, to a degree, these white parties are the ones that are spread about are falling out of favor somewhat. Have you heard that?
I don't know about that, Jerry. Do you?
Well, I don't know about them falling out of favor, no. I mean, I know a lot of people that plan their vacations around them, so.
Ah, then
what,
definitely
what
not.
What else have you heard? I mean, yeah, no, not from what I've heard, Peter.
I see. I read so many things from so many sources, it's hard to know where I picked that up, but somewhere
right.
I got that impression. Probably somebody that had a bad white party.
There you go. Yeah.
Probably.
Somebody in a really bad mood, I no doubt, picked up. Now, this is the Pearl anniversary. Are we expecting some Barbara Bushes with the oversized Texas Pearls?
Well, I don't know if we're going to have Barbara, but we're hoping that June Cleaver might show up.
I think it's remarkable to call it the Pearl anniversary. No doubt many people will follow on those themes. Have you referred to the earlier parties in that way, you know, like the 30th anniversary Pearls, et cetera?
No, because we haven't done it, but since this is the 30th anniversary, is, you know, known as the Pearl anniversary. But what's happening is kind of a cool thing is Under One Roof, who, you know, is one of our beneficiaries, it will have ordered 500 pearl necklaces.
Oh, my stars.
There for people to wear during the night. So I'm sure it's going to be pretty festive.
Oh, this is
cool.
Just fabulous. 500 pearl necklaces. This is going to be a major hoot. I hope there's some video of this shot. It's too good not to share. Too good.
There will be.
And I have to say, too, I didn't realize that on your site you had 30-minute audio. I didn't find that. Now, this site, by the way, we've been posting this, I believe, in the chat room. At least we normally post those links. If not, you can find links to this by going to strictlyconfidentialradio.com and just going to today's date, and you'll find links to Remember the Party. What is the site for people who are not in the chat room or are looking at Strictly Confidential?
It's the site is called rememberthepartycom, and you know, you just click on it and you'll find lots of information about the Trocadero transfer, lots and lots of memorabilia from the 70s on, You also, we have lots of pictures of the original Mirrorball cluster, and then when you go into about Remember the Party, you can go into about Trocadero transfer, you can go into a section that's about Remember the Party. And there you'll get to see all the pictures from our previous events. You get to see what the crowd's like. You get to see the lighting. And we actually have a couple of film clips up on there now, too, that you can look at the film clips in the Remember the Party section. But the other thing is I really hope that whoever wants to know what this type of disco sounds like is listen to those two files that we have up on RTP Music on the homepage and give a listen to it, because you'll find out that the music that Jerry is playing is very, very Trocadero transfer, but not just commercial. Jerry throws a few commercial things in there because Trocadero did too, and it's great music. It's really wonderful music. But most of all, you'll hear what it really sounded like, at Trocadero. You'll get a really good idea of how lush and delicious it all sounded.
Now, by RTP, you're actually there's that the full site name is Remember the Party. Is that if there's
the
not
party,
too?
Yeah, just I shouldn't do that. We abbreviate and call it RTP, but it's always RememberTheParty.com.
Yeah, just for and can you purchase tickets through the site?
Yeah, you can just on the homepage. You just go over to the right hand side and you'll see a pink arc lamp beam. If you notice the beams on the homepage, those are actually arc lamp beams. In the colors that the arc lamps would use at our parties. And on the pink one, which is, it says purchase tickets, you just click on that, and it's a very easy thing to do. It goes through PayPal, and you can do that there. Or, like I said, you can buy them at the door on the night, or you can buy them at Medium Rare Music on Market Street near Castro also.
Now, Jerry, are you and Chris both in San Francisco? I got the impression that you were in different cities because of the area code thing. You guys are both actually located there then, right?
No, I'm in Denver. I moved to Denver almost 2 years ago now. So, yeah. Chris is in San Francisco, and I'm in Denver. I'm actually leaving for San Francisco tomorrow morning.
I see.
Yahoo!
And you're going to be working very hard. Yeah, so you have an early day tomorrow, and you're going to be working hard, no doubt. Are you going to be assisting with the installation or working primarily on the sound system? Do they make you work hard, too?
I'll do whatever they ask me to. I've been looking forward to this party all year long, so it's always just a joy to be in, you know, to be in the club with those guys and listening to the music and setting things up. So I can hardly wait to get there.
Will you be using vinyl or CDs or both?
I've transferred all my vinyl onto CDs. It's just so much easier to carry a case of CDs rather than 2 50-pound bags of vinyl. I can just bring so much more music with me as well.
I see.
And the party's going from, we start at 6 and we'll go till 3:30 in the morning.
I see. And do you do this? I mean, this is huge. This event is obviously huge, and it means so much to so many people. Do you do this on the fly? Do you create your playlist on the fly? Do you plan it earlier? How do you handle something? This has got to be a high stress thing to a degree. I mean, you've got a lot on you.
Well, there are certain things I know I'm definitely going to play, and especially for the anniversary, I'm playing some of the big troc hits. I mean, I have to. And then I know certain people that are going to be there, and I'm playing certain, you know, special songs for those people. I have an idea of what I want to do, but you've DJed before. You never know how a night's going to go until you're actually there and the people are there. So I always have an idea. No, I mean, I always have whenever I've DJed. But you have to listen to the crowd and go from there.
Well, I completely agree. There's a lot to be said for that flexibility. There's this moment. There's being in the moment. And, you know, so, when things are too planned, that just falls apart completely.
Exactly.
And so you're taking, you have a general idea, but you're it actually is assembled on the spot.
Only some of, there's a couple of special things that we've done for this evening that are pre-planned, but just like they did back in the day, and Bobby was famous for doing re-edits of songs and you know, surprising the crowd with a song that they thought they knew and turning it around into something totally different. So I've taken my cue from him and done the same things with some of the songs I'm going to be playing.
Well, was it on your site, Jerry, that I would? I just came across this today. I'm sure it was today. Who was the fellow who played, and what was the track? I'm sorry, I have so many things in my head from you know, that I do so many shows, one heavy, but the song was played intentionally at a 45, but it was really a 33, and then there was a mix to something that was fabulous. Is that available? Is anybody have a copy of that? I would love to hear it. And what were the tracks?
I don't know which song you're talking about, but it was pretty common for, like, a song like Magic Bird of Fire, which was pressed at 45, but you'd play it at 33. I heard a lot of DJs do that, and the instrumental of Souvenirs was played at the wrong speed.
with the BPM.
I even
with
heard
the,
"You Make Me Feel Mighty Real" by Sylvester played at the wrong speed once.
And what with the pitch control cranked in the opposite direction so that it's not too askew?
Yeah, they would for the most part pitch it up as much as they could if it was at the wrong speed. But I mean, the bass lines come out. Some songs are. I don't know. It's usually you do that at the end of the night when you can kind of get away with it. You know, you can kind of play with people. They're like, "Oh my God, I know this song. Am I really dancing this slow to this song? What's going on?"
My stars!
But it's also beautiful as well.
Well, I thought I had heard it all, but this was new to me. It never occurred to me to do that. I just was floored, and I don't remember which. It must have been one of your pages in looking all of your information up that it was a particular DJ who did that, and the tracks were named.
I think if you went to discomusic.com, I did mention Jim Burgess playing "You Make Me Feel Mighty Real" at the wrong.
I said it was Jim Burgess. It was Jim Burgess.
Yes.
I knew. Yes, yes, yes. And he was running.
Yeah.
What was it? The Sylvester version.
Yeah, the Sylvester version, and then he mixed into "Love for the Sake of Love" by Claude Jaberi, which is like 90 beats per minute and absolutely gorgeous. But I'd never heard anyone play "You Make Me Feel Mighty Real" at the wrong speed until Jim Burgess did.
Well,
and people were out there dancing, having a fantastic time.
Well, I'm just floored by this. Was he running a 33 at 45 or a 45 at 33? Which way was he headed?
45 at 33, so he was playing it really, really slow. And Sylvester had such a great falsetto, so even though he was playing it at the wrong speed, it just sounded like, you know, it wasn't too draggy.
Oh, I
By the way, I have to cut in here
that.
And say, by the way, Jerry Bonham did that at our Black Party, where he played the Big Hurt by Bare Essence, the dub version of it, at 33 plus something, which is a 45, and he played it at 33, and flawlessly mixed it into, what did you mix it into, Jerry?
In the Middle of the Night by Giorgio.
Yeah, so if you want to hear what that sounds like, now, if you ever get Jerry's track, you'll hear Jerry playing something at 33, and it works, and it's beautiful. It's actually the way the Big Hurt should be listened to, I think.
This is marvelous. This is just marvelous. It never occurred to me. I so want to try it. It just fascinates me.
I'll give you one to try for yourself. Take Magnifique, the instrumental, and turn it to 33 plus 8. And listen to it, and you'll get what it means.
My stars.
Oh,
Lord, Mama told me not to listen to those San Francisco boys.
People go the other way, too. I've had Rise, which is a 33 and a third pressing, played at 45, the Herb Alpert classic. And
wow.
I heard that a lot back in the day, and it worked.
I'll be darned. Well, I'm just floored. I'm just floored. So, if I were to look for that CD, which year would it be that you did? That I would love to hear that. Was it Magnificent?
The Big
Hurt? Yeah, the Big Hurt.
The Black Party CD set, or the Remember the Trock Party CD set.
Okay, and is there a year associated with it that from the site?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So that would be what? 2005?
Yeah.
Well, golly.
Really cool.
Yeah. And you did this what time? What, it was like very late that you did that?
Oh, we were definitely going down, and I think it was probably 2:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember, parties on a Sunday night, so a lot of people have to work on Monday. 2:30 may not sound that late to a lot of people now. Because I know a lot of people stay out till, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning still.
Well, you know,
we
obviously,
start at 6, that's why.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously, that's doing something like that, you would have to have done that before you did it. In other words, I don't know if I would dare do something like that live had I not tried it before. For fear of the result.
Well, I've played a lot of records at the wrong speed, but you have to know your crowd. And that's, things like that were done back then. To, you know,
people didn't dance to the same beats per minute all night long. It wasn't 128 beats per minute for the entire evening. It was a ride from, you know, starting out slow and sultry down in the 90 BPMs, building up to the 130s or 140s even, and then coming back down. So it wasn't just one constant BPM all night, which is kind of what it is nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you heard, you know, a slow song in a club?
Oh, never. Certainly not while I was there, damn it. But, you know, I remember ramping up to, you know, Tripping on the Moon and you know, all the 144s, and there was probably a 146 there, you know, going up and down. But it just never occurred to me to run anything on the wrong speed. I'm just intrigued by this.
Yeah,
I guess
that's cool. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to talk to Glenn about this.
Oh, I'm sure Glenn knows about it. I've seen a lot of his postings on DiscoMusic.com. He definitely knows his music.
Well, he does.
I would take Chris's advice and play Magnifique at the wrong speed, and if you have a copy of Magic Bird of Fire by the South Pole Orchestra, play that at the wrong speed, too. Pretty dramatic. Pretty dramatic stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, I should point out that regarding the archive of this program, it will be on the Strictly Confidential site, and I will edit it so that the Viola Wills incident will not be a part of it.
Okay.
I'll splice that back together as if it never happened. And, the archive link is up by morning, and so you're welcome to use that in any way you like. I do not want to let you guys get away without just leaving it open to you. Now, I've asked so many questions, and you know, they're, you know, hit and miss. Sometimes I shoot the duck, and sometimes I don't. But I really want to just leave it open. So there are certainly things that we haven't covered that you'd probably like to talk about.
Chris, I don't know. You've really covered it really well. By the way, I have to compliment.
Yeah, I think so too.
I love your theme song. That's one of my very favorite songs. I'm such a Nona Hendrix fan.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
Yeah, we saw her. Actually, I lit her performing that at the Trocadero, and that's a wrecked for life for moment if there ever was one.
Oh, my stars, you've seen her do that?
Oh, yeah. I've been lucky enough to light any number of people over the years, and she was one of them, and she sang that, and she sang Sweat, and she sang Bustin' Out, and she did it. I won't go into what she did, but I'll just tell you, maybe another time I'll tell you about that story, but she was equally as intense and wonderful as Grace Jones and Sylvester all wrapped up in one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so thrilled to hear that. That particular track, certainly, it's actually called "Keep It Confidential." Of course, you know that. I know everybody thinks it's called "Strictly Confidential" here, but it's not called that. It's called "Keep It Confidential," and it's always been one of my all-time favorites. I don't know why. I've absolutely always treasured that. And so when it came up that, you know, you're doing a show, I thought, well, this is what we have to call it. There's no way we can't do this song every night.
Yeah, and that's a mid-80s Trocadero morning music sound. We don't go up to that high in the 80s in our events, but that was one of the songs. When that came on, everybody just loved it. It was so deep and delicious and purple and, you know, really a sensual sound that she did.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. A number of people have asked for that. In fact, we've run that as a full track, I believe, on the show at some point. But people were requesting, "What is that from? What is that from?" A lot of people. Yeah, we have some. So that was fun to play. I'm just so happy for you guys to get to do this. I would love to go. And anyone, I've got to tell you, if anyone is listening to this and has any possible way of getting there, if you live in California, period, I just cannot believe that you would not go. I mean, honest to God, I could see, like, thousands of people. I mean, how many people does this place hold?
It'll hold, give and take, 800 to 1,000 people, depending on, you know, on how Jerry wants to pack them in. And it gets pretty intense, let me tell you.
Yeah,
I see. And so you've hit 800 before, easily.
Easily. And I'm sure we are already now.
do most of your ticket sales happen at the last minute? You know how we are. You know how we are. We, you know, we'll get it at the door. You know, a lot of, and so does a lot of that happen as people go in?
A lot of it does, but I have to say we've sold more than half our tickets already.
I see. So, but the time the last minute people get there, it's just going to be packed.
Yeah, but what's more fun than going to a club?
It's easier to buy your ticket online. You don't have to wait in line either.
Yeah. So, but the neat part is when you get there in the clubs like that, what's more fun than going to a club where it's just jumping? And it will be.
Well, I completely agree. And I'm so looking forward to it. Perhaps one or both of you could give us a call after the fact, once you've recovered, of course, not as a formal guest, but just to give us a call. You know, I'll immediately put you on the air. There's a toll free line to give us a recap of how it went. I would love to hear, you know, while it's fresh in your mind, what happened, who was there, the Pearl story, how many people tripped over them when all the Pearl strings broke. God, I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, we have another person named Keith, who is part of the Trocadero family, who would be really good at telling you some of those tall tales, but we'll be happy to call you, and I'd like to have Keith tell you a few tales, too. You'll get a big kick out of what he has to say.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I would love to hear from him, and feel free, after the event, what appropriate recovery time, please do give a call. I'm sure the guests would love to hear it. And I would. I mean, I found out a major clue tonight. You can play stuff at the wrong speed and get away with it. You know,
and they'll dance to it.
My life just changed. It's like, you know, your record collection just doubled because you could play them at the right speed and the wrong speed.
I never thought of it that way.
Now,
funny.
Sure.
And now you're wrecked for life.
Yes,
exactly.
A wreck for life, just by coming close. Guys, you have been wonderful guests. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for putting up with our little technical snags. I assure you I'll fix the archive.
Peter, thanks for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Peter. We really enjoyed this, and we really appreciate telling people about our event.
It was a pleasure for me, As our friend Glenn says, and as I say, it's about keeping this alive, because it means so much to so many of us, and I'm glad you guys are there doing this. It's important.
Yep, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah,
very important.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And good night to you both. I'll tell you what, as soon as you guys go, which I'm not rushing you out the door, I'm going to tell you, though, I'm going to go ahead and have Bob run the track that I uploaded, because this comes from the 2006 playlist, I Haven't Stopped Dancing Yet, by Gonzalez. It will give folks a flavor of what might happen this weekend. How about that?
That will.
Okay. Okay.
You.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Good night to you both.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Wonderful guest. Boy, did I learn a lot. Boy, those San Francisco guys took me to school. I have twice as many records as I thought. I have the 33 ones and the 45 ones. And tell you what, I believe we have time to, it's 10:52, yes, I'm sure we do, to run the Haven't Stopped Dancing Yet. It's by Gonzalez, and it's one of my favorites from the day, and it was part of their 2006 playlist. Bob, if you'd run that for us. And we will close out that track. Not quite enough time to play the whole thing. Bob masterfully faded that at the break. A perfect spot to do that, Bob. Looking for a 33 right now to play at 45 to mix with that. Guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope you had as much fun as I did. I really enjoyed our guests. An amazing party coming up in San Francisco. Thank you for bearing with us with our little technical storm problem. I was making Viola Wills jokes. She does a track called Stormy Weather, which is an old standard, but it's very, very different. We'll have to run it some evening. So in any case, thank you for being here. Love you guys. I appreciate it to our guests, Chris and Jerry. And in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...